Welcome back. We are still here with J. Wendell Gordon, who is an attorney for Corey Ausby in the Wertesheim case as advocate for Corey. And we are now joined by a man we just discovered is also his mentor and one of Baltimore's leading attorneys, Ed Smith, who is the attorney for Julius Henson. Ed, welcome to the Baltimore studio.
Mark, it's great to be here with you and J. Wendell.
Folks, oh, excuse me, Ed, you got to focus on the mics and get his mic on. That would help. Thank you.
That's great. Mark, as I said, it's great to be here with you, and it's great to be here with J. Wendell. He's far exceeded anything that I mentored him on, by the way, and you can hear that by virtue of the answers that he gave while I was in the green room.
I had a great teacher.
So let's talk about did you hear the comment before you came on?
I did. I heard the young man who talked about Henson having the keys to the jail.
Right.
Couldn't disagree with that more. He did not have the keys to the jail. In the United States of America, we can disagree that we're guilty of anything. And the jury certainly found him guilty of a misdemeanor. They acquitted him of all of the felonies. And he was treated differently than Paul Sherrick, who received 30 days home confinement while Mr. Henson went to jail. And I think that that speaks volumes to the disparity in sentencing in this country, and even from an African-American judge, which makes it even harder. And by the way, I do live in Park Heights, and I do live in the Orthodox Jewish community, and I've lived there for 32 years. So when J. Wendell says what he says about the situation up there, I live right next to Jewish people, have for most of my adult life with my child, now my grandchildren. We have gotten along wonderfully over the years, but there is a perceivable tension in that area. And I agree that we should have community patrols, by the way.
The question on community patrols, we can talk about this in a minute, but I want to ask a question about Julius.
Sure.
Because there's something I've been positing about how a neighborhood like that should have a community patrol if it has it, but let me come back to that.
Okay, sure.
Let me stay for a minute with Julius, who I think, you know, is one of the brightest men I've met. He's an extremely bright human being who's run some incredible campaigns.
That's true.
Put Joan Pratt in office, and among others, right?
About 100 people.
But let me ask this question. When I first heard it, my initial reaction was it's felt, smelled like racism in the courts, that the white guy walks and the black guy gets 30 days.
Mm. 60.
60. 60. Not 30. 60 days.
Where's
60
the 30 days coming from? Where did the 30 days come from anyway? I heard
30.
It's like a rumor, but
no, 60.
He got 60 days. Right. The maximum sentence was 1 year, $1,000 fine. He got a 1 year sentence, all suspended, but 60 days.
Well, let me ask you this question, and we'll open the phones to see what people think as well. And Rick Vatch, who's wrote an op-ed column to be posted on this, is joining us, Professor Towson. Rick, welcome to the show as well.
Mark, how you doing?
Good. Always had good to have you here, brother. So the question. So this morning, this is what came to me. I was reading the papers and the old articles. Shurik was convicted, was very contrite.
That's correct.
Right? Yes, I did it. Shouldn't have done it. It was contrite. Julius Henson was convicted, and not that it was anything but contrite, saying that, you know, it's O'Malley's fault. The Democrats are coming after me, and kind of taking the offensive. And did that have something to do with his getting time instead of in-house probation? I mean, instead
it shouldn't have under the circumstances. When we select judges, we're supposed to select them for the content of their character and not an emotional situation where one gets angry when a person feels that he has done nothing wrong. You punish him for what he has done, not for what he says under the First Amendment. And the mea culpa that Mr. Sherrick gave was quite appropriate for Mr. Sherrick. It was not as appropriate in Mr. Henson's mind for Mr. Henson.
Because?
Well, because Mr. Sherrick was in control of the campaign. The money that went to pay for the robocall, which was never paid to Mr. Henson, by the way, came from the campaign of Bob Ehrlich. He owned it, if anybody did, and he indicated that he owned it. Mr. Henson said to Mr. Sherrick, you need an authority line on it. It was his position, that is Mr. Henson, that, listen, I told them it was their decision and they did it. Judge Brown, being a very good jurist ordinarily, flubbed the dub. And there are instances where even African-Americans can, in fact, give backlash to black defendants. And in this case, it's clear that that's what happened.
And I would also point out that Shurik was convicted of the felonies. Henson was convicted of a charge that carries the same penalty as driving on a suspended license.
That's right.
And with that, I mean, not too many people do 60 days once they receive their first conviction of driving on a suspended license.
Especially when you're right for a nonviolent misdemeanor, as you've just indicated to Mark's audience. It's absolutely incredible.
So, Rick, a quick comment, then I'm going to open the phones here, as I promised.
Yeah, I think that Mr. Henson committed Democratic heresy. I don't think that in Maryland you can get away with doing this to Democrats. Also, the business about articulating contrition, so what? You know, I have heard this all my life, that if you articulate contrition, your sentence should be reduced. Well, you know, this is a rhetorical question. I guess everybody should therefore articulate contrition, but it doesn't mean they feel contrition. You can't tell whether somebody feels contrition. This is it's an outrageous situation wherein Mr. Henson is incarcerated for this, is not given a chance at bail. I mean, it is a punishment for his attacking Democrats.
Well, but I will say, and safely saying, I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican, that plenty of Democrats have gone to jail in Maryland or been convicted under special prosecutors.
Not with this particular, with this particular section of the law. There
That's
are
right.
none that you can find other than Mr. Henson. And
That's
I think
right.
I think Professor Vatz is absolutely right. This is a situation where there is a Democratic backlash. I've been a Yellow Dog Democrat all my life. So I've been in campaigns. I've run campaigns for free, I might add. I've never taken a dime from any of my friends from running them. But I know what the system is. I know what they do. I've been in the smoke-filled rooms. I've made the deals in Little Italy. I've been around this state for many, many years, and I'm an old man now. So I know where the bones are buried and know how they act.
And I have as well been in those rooms in my days, running campaigns as well.
Mark, could I say one other thing before you take calls?
Yeah.
That is, if you look at the substance of the robocall, it is comparable to an audience or the people attending a baseball game yelling, "It's all over." What they said is that the goals have been successful for President Obama and for Governor O'Malley. Our goals have been met. The polls are correct. We took it back. We're okay. Relax. You know, it's a bragging that things are over. There is no factual claim that the election is over in the ad.
Except, I think you're stretching it. I mean, from my perspective, I think that on that particular point. Let me tell you why I think it, because I think we know exactly what this is about. This was about, from the Republican campaign standpoint, whether from the early campaign, to limit and stop the black vote from coming out, which was going to be a black vote for Democrats for the most part in the state. That's what this was. And there's so much voter suppression going on around the country.
There's
right
nothing
now.
Wrong with voter suppression, by the way, Mark, in its purest sense, and in the sense that political scientists and people who are involved in campaigns are know. And the prosecutor's own witnesses prove that.
Well, I'm not sure what that means. Well, what kind of suppression you're talking about that you think is okay?
We're talking about keeping the other guys, people, from the polls,
but not blatantly, like saying, "Okay, it looks you really don't have to come out and everything's
you know,
cool. Stay home."
Been, yeah, but there would have been nothing wrong with that ad if there had been a tag on it. Nothing wrong, because Professor Vatz is absolutely right. The ad is, we're not talking about a Segretti situation where you send pizzas to the other guy's campaign headquarters. We're not talking about standing with a pickaxe at the polls. We're not talking about telling people that the election is on one day and not the other. We're talking about a finesse situation within the context of a political campaign. And I'm not as sophisticated as Professor Vatz, as Julius Henson, but I do know that there are shades of gray in any campaign that you have. And I've been running campaigns and been involved in campaigns since 1967 in this state. And I've seen some things. And the only person that's in jail for them is Julius Henson.
Absolutely correct.
Let me go to the phone. I promise people have been waiting a while, and then we'll come right back to J. Wendell Gordon as well. 410-319-8888. D, you've been patient. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. Let me say this regarding Shamrin. It clearly is not an issue about black and white, but clearly it's about wrong and right. The three adults cannot attack a child. They clearly overstepped their boundaries and decided to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner toward this young man. It was no different than what we saw with Shamrim in New York when they had the videotape of the young Jewish butcher who kidnapped little Aaron and cut that little Jewish boy up. And the community and the citizens have been calling for the disbandment of Shamrim, which clearly needs to take place. If they were out practicing community patrols, then they would have gone into Northwestern High School, and rather than racially profiling Corey and other young men up there, as we've been told, they would have gone in and known that this was Corey. So that Corey was not out of line, that they could talk to Corey, but they overstepped their boundaries, and all three should have been charged. When three white boys attacked an 82-year-old black man down at Fort Armstead, all three of them were charged with hate crimes. When three young men attacked, I think it was Zach Sowers, all three of them were charged. They didn't pick and choose which one they were going to charge. All three were charged. So clearly Shumrin was in the wrong. And I don't think Baltimore really wants to have a conversation about race, because clearly members of the Jewish community pick and choose which so-called leaders, black leaders, they want to come on these airways and have conversations about real race relations in the city of Baltimore. And with Julius Henson, you know, it's really sad that he got all these black attorneys and black radio talk show hosts that can take up his plight. We got thousands of young black men, brown men, and poor white men, and young women like that 17-year-old girl who was taken out of school and arrested wrongfully for a crime she did not commit. But I wish they did have the Monumental Bar Association. I wish they did have an attorney, Ed Smith, to take up their plight and their fight. So it really shows you that there's two Baltimores or three Baltimores existing. One black, one white, one Jew, and one Gentile. When we look at the case of Corey Osby, when we look at the case, again, of Julius Henson, and he wanted to be Hannah Montana. He wanted to be Miley Cyrus. He wanted to have the best of both worlds.
Man, that's just totally whacked out what you're saying. The man had one attorney, and that's me. And it was he and myself against the state of Maryland. And if you look at this thing rationally, the way it is that this boy went up against and has gone up against the establishment. People who have been in the political realm understand that no one can challenge it without having somebody who knows what the heck they're doing. He's the alternative. He's the other side of the coin. So for you to get up here and fat mouth when you don't really know what you're talking about, you really need to take a chill pill, brother.
So,
what do you want me to say?
I don't know.
Mark,
you've been quiet for a while.
I don't have anything to say.
Mark, can I make one
at least to that
point?
Comment.
Yes.
Mark, when the word Jew is used as an adjective, you have a really, really prejudiced individual.
I will go along with that. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Like I said, I live there. I love the people who I live around.
You're
They're good
about
neighbors.
You.
Oh no, I understand that, but I can't say that about Jay Wendell too, because I know Jay Wendell ever since he was 20 years old. Yeah. But let me tell you this about my community, because I was one who volunteered to go on rides with Jewish people when they started the Neighborhood Watch. My house has been hit and has my neighbors. And I love my community, love my neighborhood, and I love my neighbors. I've been a member of the Cheswold Community Association, and I was on its board for a while. This is a regrettable situation all the way around.
Right.
But when you're wrong, you're wrong. And the deal is that in this particular instance. So,
before we have to break, because we have to let me get another call on here very quickly.
Sure.
Keith, you're on. Mark. No, it's fine. Keith, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi, Keith.
Good afternoon.
First of all, I'd like to disagree with the rabbi when he says that everybody want to make this a racial thing. So I guess what the rabbi is saying, that what's good in Tel Aviv and other communities in Israel is good for Northwest Baltimore. Well, let me explain something. Let me explain this to you. This kid's arm was broken, or wrist was broken, or something like that. I think a special defense force soldier in the Israeli army, ex special defense force soldier, using that kind of force on a kid and expecting to come out saying that he was going to protect the neighborhood. I'm a member of the Northeast Citizens Patrol over here. And I'm going to tell you what, let's reverse the roles and let's have three black patrolmen on patrol and a white kid over here that gets beaten like that. I'm going to tell you right now.
He'd be up in the jail right now, brother. You know it and I know it.
So let me get, Wendell, you need to jump in on this before, and then because we have to close out.
I don't really disagree with anything anyone's saying. I don't. So if it came to a point, I really don't have a comment. I'm listening to the comment that he just gave, and I agree somewhat.
And I think that one of the things I would say, that one of the things maybe Northwest Baltimore needs, and I've said this to the mayor, and she didn't really respond to when I asked this question, was maybe it's time for the city to say Shomrim shouldn't exist, and that what you need is you're going to have a patrol that patrols the Northwest Baltimore community, Park Heights, Mount Washington, all those neighborhoods there around. It should be a patrol that is made up of everybody in that community working together that really represents a cross-section of Black, Orthodox, Jewish, other Jewish, Latino people in that community that that really looks like what the community is.
Yeah, we used to have it. And we really volunteered. Ari Davis used to live up there, and other judges and people who now we're all old, and obviously there's a problem with us riding. But if the rules were followed, it wouldn't be any problem. Mm-hmm. Because your caller was right before. You don't get out of the car. We were taught that. Right. you don't.
Just the eyeballs of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's nothing wrong with them if they just followed the rules. This was an aberration. This is not something that happens all the time in Park Heights. The Jewish people are good people. They're people who are observant of their religion, and it does not teach them to take advantage of others. Right. And so we have an individual who just did, and we can't throw away the baby with the bathwater. We just can't.
Well, let me just say,
I would comment that there was a statement made that that the young man was going around pulling doors to cars and peeping in the house. I just have to defend my client on that particular statement. That did not happen. I mean, that was part of the defense of the case, but that was not what happened. This young man was just walking through the community. His grandmother lived in that community. So he wouldn't be pulling on doors and peeping in people's houses when his grandmother lived right around the corner. I mean, he was there after he was visiting his grandmother and then going to a doctor's appointment, so he's walking to catch a bus.
So we have to take a break here now, but I first want to get a commitment from both Ed Smith and J. Wendell Gordon that you won't be strangers on my show.
Oh, I'd be happy to come back.
I'd love to come down Northern Parkway from where I live in Cheswold down here with you, Mark, especially with these surroundings. Well, I mean, my God.
For a man who helps students,
it's nice in here.
And for a man who helps start the radio station when you were president of student government.
I am so proud of it.
So
I'm proud of those students in that booth. I'm proud of you being here. My God, this is like almost heaven coming back here.
That's what I like to hear. Gentlemen, thank you both so much.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Mark.
You're a gentleman as well. Thank you so much, my friend.
Professor Vatz, take care.
Yes. We're going to take a very quick break. We're going to come back with Kelvin Boston to talk about what's coming up this weekend with his empowerment tour and Black Associated Black Charities. Stay with us. Don't go away. We're not going anywhere. We're just staying on, aren't we? All right.